I would have to say that probably the most significant thing that people say has been the result for them is that their way of being in the world is changed. And their way of being with others is changed. And it really has to do with their capacity to be present and to listen. And then to wait and to respond out of that still place of being with God and being present and being attuned to God. And the other thing, though, is that we've had a number of people who have discerned vocations to the poor. And, you know, I have to say I've been influenced enough by my Roman Catholic brethren to say that I do think that there is a privileged place that the poor have in terms of the gospel of the kingdom. And so to see people called into ministry to those who, you know, have the least or have the most difficulty has been a really wonderful thing, particularly because we are, I have to say, in an upper middle class, pretty white neighborhood at La Cañada. So that's been lovely to see, and we've had numerous different, you know, calls. But again, I'll refer to Anne and say that Anne discerned a call to be with mothers of children with special difficulties, and has provided a wonderful, really a sanctuary. Many of the mothers have Down syndrome children or autistic children, and that really her sense of confidence to do that and to reach out, I think, really did get nurtured in the context of Companions. And then my other good friend, Claudia, who hated hospitals and, you know, again, had lived her life in a pretty monocultural kind of context, is out ministering 3 days a week full-time as a chaplain at one of our county hospitals, where they speak just about every language known to, you know, in the world, and represent every kind of, you know, situation and ethnic or racial or national background, and absolutely experiences God in that place all the time. And we'll say, quite honestly, and this is me sharing Claudia's story, that it was Companions that taught her to be present to that reality and to be so secure and confident in a place that she never thought she'd be called, that God had gone ahead of her, and that God is always there before her. You may sort of take that for granted, but in the days when I was growing up, in a very intentional and intense kind of evangelical context, I think a lot of times we got an impression somehow, and even validated one another almost with the sense that, you know, it was up to us. You know, we really had to pray hard enough, fast hard enough, do, you know, disciplines well enough that God would show up. And I think one of the shifts for me in this whole spirituality movement, and I love the way Eugene Peterson talks about it. He says, the assumption of spirituality being our lived experience of God, our lived expression of faith, the assumption of that living of faith is that always God precedes us. And that the task then of spirituality is not to get God to do something, but to learn to recognize what God is already doing so that we can participate in it, so we can celebrate it. So sometimes we get to nurture it along, but that always it's about recognizing what God is already doing and what God's desire in the situation is. So that as much as anything else, our spiritual disciplines, our experience and companions, is really about awareness, about becoming aware of the God who is already at work and already in the presence, in the people that we encounter. And I'm going to say, again, a stretch for me initially to really recognize that, you know, of course, people come to faith because of the Holy Spirit. But hard to recognize sometimes that people who aren't already turned towards God may still, in fact, be being touched by God and being turned, you know, in the process. And that even in the places where God's absence seems to be most clear, that there are ways that we can learn to glimpse, if nothing else, God's desire present in that absence. And then from there, to begin to recognize that God can and will begin to work, and that our presence and our recognition and our awareness is somehow a part of how God is invited into that place and gains a foothold and begins to do what God would do. So my word, again, for spirituality is, yes, awareness, recognition, but also participation. That we are invited to participate with God, to be co-creators with a God who is infinitely creative, way beyond anything I could ever imagine. And I think that's one of the things that I'm constantly surprised by is, oh my gosh, how did you figure out to do this, God? You know, how could you be here in this situation? And I'm just going to be real honest with you and tell you that I have two children that are wandering around on their journeys of faith a little bit. Children that I have entrusted to God, and I'm believing that God is meeting them. But they're in places that if I had been writing the script, they wouldn't be necessarily. Now, having said that, they're not at this point, thank the Lord, in real difficult or extreme circumstances. They're not in the place that I would prefer for them, you know, to be with God. And I'm continuing to learn to trust them and to ask God, you know, where are you and how are you at work in this situation that I can't begin to sort of even conceive? I don't know what the situation is going to be like 10 years from now. How can I trust you for 10 years from now? Especially when I know that I may not be around to make sure they get to the place I want them to get. I'm really having to trust God with that. And you know, if you have children or if you are a child, that's the hardest thing to do. Trusting our parents or trusting our children, the people that are close to us, and often our spouses, to God is really hard. But this infinitely creative, I mean, that's the one thing, you know, that always I can say about God in any situation is that always God is working things together for good and for God's purpose and in amazingly imaginative and creative and surprising ways. And so spirituality is being awake to that reality and wanting to be a part of what that is and what God is doing, and that's what companions is about. is nurturing that in one another and increasingly being able to recognize that work that God is doing. And our experience together has been that in the small group, in the facilitators group, which is usually just slightly larger, our facilitators group has varied from being 10 people, I think, is the smallest it's ever been, to being 16 or 17 people. So the small groups of 5 or 6, the facilitators group of 16, up to 16, the gathered community, often we've been two communities, so there's been 35 or 40 people in each group, just seeing and recognizing all the ways that God is at work and reflecting and sharing that and encouraging one another to see that because of that reflection process, as well as because of the shared prayer, where often that is the immediate way that happens. I don't want to bore you to death or keep going on too long. I will just say, I know that in 1996 there were a lot of questions about what we were doing, particularly because we were bringing some things that were a little bit unusual into an evangelical context. I want you to know that I care a lot about the theological and the biblical and the spiritual integrity of what we are doing. And a lot of attention has been paid to that. And I appreciate the fact that that's a shared concern amongst the group here. And I love the job that you did in helping to shape both Sally and Ralph in shaping the statement of faith. I think that's been beautifully done. That's important to me. Having said that, I need to acknowledge that a lot of different pieces and streams, to use Richard Foster's term, have influenced the shape and the form of Companions. Some of you are familiar with Richard Foster's six streams. Is that where he really talks about streams that actually in some ways cut across denominations. But he talks about the holiness churches. He talks about the liturgical or sacramental churches. He talks about the charismatic experience, the evangelical and word-centered churches. The social justice and compassionate churches, and then the contemplative, the prayer, the deep prayer-oriented churches, and that's taken various